Morning. It is good to see many of our college kids home for the holidays. We have a lot of visitors here this morning. Steve, even though I use this, I still have to bring this. I haven't made it as far as you have in that respect. Still need my paper Bible. For those of you in the Hebrews class, you know, there is what you know and there is reality. There is, you know, there's so many things in this life, and the devil uses this a great deal in sinful ways, in that you delude yourself into believing things that are not true. I really believe there was another Sunday in this month, with all of my heart, and it just shows you that it doesn't matter how much in your heart you believe something that's wrong, it still is not right. Because I believe that there was going to be one more Sunday in this month, and there's not. And I led some people astray in class this morning and said we'd finish Hebrews next week. We finished Hebrews this morning. And we only got to about R. So we got to Hebrew. And the O's will have to come later. But I'm sorry about that. And, of course, that also reminds me now that I've got to work even harder this week to get everything ready for the Genesis class that is coming. There is a sign-up sheet out there for you to sign up if you want to be a part of that class. And simply signing up is a way for us to know how much material to prepare. So if you do not sign up and you come to the class, there won't be material for you at least the first week. We'll get it for you, but you will not get it on the first Sunday. So please take time to sign that. And if you want to come and be a part of the Into the Deep Genesis class that begins next Sunday. And also, there are sheets back there with events for 2014 that will give you some heads up on what's coming. This year had a lot of people say to me, I didn't know that that's what that was, or I didn't know. So, you know, those have been put in your mailbox, but there's also some back there. So we will be without excuse if you don't know, you didn't read. And so please pick those up as well. It talks about the Genesis class, and you can kind of get a better idea of what is going to happen with that. Have you ever just been looking at I know we all kind of get on the internet, or most of us do, and you see things, you go, what in the world? Wide web, right? You know, it's not just what in the world anymore. You have to add the rest of it, because usually what we're looking at is there. You know, the internet has changed the world in so many ways. And sometimes the world around us changes so rapidly that either we don't take the time or we just fail to think about how we need to put Christ into those things that are changing around us. How does this affect my Christianity? How are these things that I am getting involved in, how do I need to make sure that I'm not doing anything that would hurt the cause of Jesus Christ or hurt myself spiritually? You know, the internet is one of the most influential forces that this world has ever known. Never at any time in this world has one tool had such a profound effect upon the entire globe. When we think about over 1 billion people are online, and when we think about that's a seventh of all the people that live on this earth, and that is all over the world, it is an amazing thing at what the internet is doing in our world today. But yet, while it is amazing and it is great in some ways, it is also devastating in others. And there is everything in between great and devastating found on the internet. The internet itself is neutral. It's not good or bad. It is how you use it that makes it good or bad. I want us to consider some of that good and bad, though, as we begin thinking about what in the World Wide Web this morning. You know, it so impacts our lives that talking with the elders and talking with others, we felt like, you know, needed some kind of morning where we thought about this. Because as Christians, we are involved with it. Well, there are several things that are good, certainly, about it. There's all types of information on almost any subject, right? I don't know how in the world we ever found out how to do anything. I can repair anything now with the internet. Now there are certain parts of my skill that might prevent that. But as far as knowing how to, reading how to do it, you can find it. There's somebody out there that's fixed it, and they've, for some reason, felt it necessary to go and type it up online. And I'm thankful to those people. Because I fix things, and I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm selfish. I'm not going to take the time to type it up. But there is something out there on how to fix everything and do everything. I remember that one of the first things that Jeannie and I used the internet for was, you know, silly putty when a child sleeps on it all night, is extremely hard to get out of hair. Incredibly hard. And we actually went to the internet. That's one of the first things we used it for, was to find out how to get silly putty out of our child's hair. And even that early in the internet age, there was an answer out there with peanut butter. Okay? You've got to use peanut butter to get silly putty out of your hair. So, you know, you can go back. And, I mean, there's just information on everything. So that is useful in many ways. There's a lot of, you know, information such as for our medical things. You know, we hear that we have some kind of condition. And we've never heard of that before. It's one of those big, long words. But we can type it into the internet. And there's usually a support group. There's usually a web page. There's everything about it. And you can kind of read about it. You can also look at other options for treatment. A lot of things like that. So it's very helpful. Our family doctor is in the Duke medical system. And there, like, I had lab work last week. I go to see the doctor this week. But I've already seen all my lab results. I'm very healthy, by the way. Seen all my lab results because they've already been posted online. Very, very useful for us to be able to do things like that. Also with the internet, one of the good things is the ability to keep in touch. You know, there were, you know, with social networking like Chad talked about Wednesday night, that has put us almost in instant contact with hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that normally we wouldn't have contact with. You know, I found friends from high school that I had no idea what happened to them. Maybe they were hiding from me. But there was no way I could seem to find them, even people that were friends. But with Facebook, there they were. Now I know where they live. I know all about them. And, you know, and so, you know, you have the opportunity to contact old friends that you've had that maybe you haven't talked to in years. Email has also become a quick way to communicate, which, you know, sometimes email's not as intrusive as just dropping in on somebody. And sometimes it's easier than a phone call because you might call somebody. It might be an inconvenient moment for them. But, you know, they can look at an email and they can respond to you or not respond to you. But, you know, it's not quite as intrusive. But there are downsides to that. It's very hard to sometimes convey the proper emotion in an email. And words kind of have that problem. Be careful when you write things in all caps and put those exclamation points on it. I know we, older people that didn't grow up in this generation, but to them, you're screaming at them. You're hollering at them, right? When you have all those words, you know, there's a lingo now out there that I'm too old to understand, but, you know, we got to be careful with that. But email has been a wonderful thing. Also, and I guess the best thing about the internet is the ability to send the gospel to all the world in a way that we have never seen in history. We have access to, as I mentioned to you a while ago, over 1 billion people, and 500 million of those people speak English. So, you know, unlike the poor translators that I tortured in Africa, you don't even need a translator to reach 500 million people. And so, you know, it's a wonderful tool. Bear Valley, the instructors at Bear Valley teach classes live by video in places like Cambodia, in Tanzania, Ghana, South America, and the Ukraine, other places. They're able to teach live by video. They can see the students can see them. It's just like being in the classroom with them. That's one of the wonderful things that the internet has provided for us in spreading the gospel. You know, people are brought to Christ throughout the world by various uses of the internet. I had a hand in converting a young man in China. Man completely isolated from the church. In fact, it was very difficult for us to find a church for him to worship with because the church is underground. It was very difficult to get him in contact, even though he had obeyed the gospel of Jesus through contact with people in America. You know, video on the internet allows us to teach and preach to many more than can be held in this building or any building today. I've spent a good deal of time talking to the elders, to some deacons, and to other members about how we can help our families here in their efforts to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, that's their responsibility, and we want to help. We want to provide tools that will aid them in that great endeavor that a parent takes whenever they decide to have a child. You know, and one of the things that we have come up with is the Straight Arrows Family Devotionals, and these are family video, or 5 to 10 minute videos each week, 3 5 to 10 minute videos, and then 2 days in which you just read the Bible and you have a discussion idea sheet. And these things will begin next year, but you know, it is something that provides 5 days of family devotionals, short family devotionals for a family to sit down and to look at God's Word. And the other 2 days, hopefully you're here. Sunday you're here at church. Wednesday you're here for Bible study. And so that's 7 days a week. And, you know, we want to help our families with those things. Sometimes families say, you know, I just don't have the time to come up with something or to plan something or to do something. You won't have to. It'll provide a ready access for, and it'll be free online for not only the members here, but anybody that wants to take advantage of those things. We also, in our End of the Deep class that I mentioned a moment ago, where we will be studying Genesis next week, actually. See, I have 2 weeks in my notes right here. 2 weeks. And that's wrong, again. Has a video component as well. Every class, since it's on Sunday and Wednesday, it's not just a Sunday class or a Wednesday class, it's Sunday and Wednesday for the next 2 quarters. Every single class is going to be videoed, and there's a Vimeo channel that you can go to online, and you can watch those, and anybody can watch those classes. So if you miss one, you can watch the classes there online. There's also going to be a discussion room where the members of that class can get together, and for questions that we may not address in class, that may not necessarily be on subject, since I've got to cover 50 chapters and 49 classes, and y'all saw what I did in Hebrews. You understand there's going to be some things we're not going to be able to deal with in class, but we will be able to address those things on the discussion board, and everybody can participate in that. So we're going to try to use more of that in helping us grow closer to God in the knowledge of His Word. So those are some of the good. What about some of the bad? Well, at the top of the list is pornography. One of the only things that is searched for more than God. It has always been a problem in our sex-oriented society, but with the internet came an accessibility that has decimated, devastated our society, our families, and individuals. Britain has acknowledged the devastating effect of pornography. You know, our nation, we're fighting to call it art and call it all kinds of stupid stuff, when what it is just immorality at its worst case. Britain has come to understand that it's destroying their society. It's destroying their men. It's destroying their families. It's destroying their children. And they are now making moves to actually censor it, actually put internet blocks to where your family cannot go there unless you ask for the government to let you go there. And you have to tell, if you're a husband, you have to tell your wife that that's what you're getting. I don't think that sounds too bad. Britain has come to understand that their children are being, their minds are being devastated by these heinous images that are placed on the internet. Britain also is holding parents legally responsible for their children being able to see things that are pornographic. You know, the rapid spread also we see on things that are bad, we see just a rapid spread of sinful information. Pro-homosexual sites and efforts throughout the internet. Things that support abortion. Things that support atheism. Things that support materialism. And the promotion of promiscuous sexual activity are found throughout web pages all over the web. You know, it is even hard when you even go to news sites and places that shouldn't have those things. You end up with this bar over here with things you shouldn't see. And nobody should be putting on the internet. Or any place for that matter. And so it is a very difficult place if you cannot deal with those type of temptations. All that said, we must understand that with the internet, our lives affect more people now than at any time in history. You affect more people now if you're on the internet and doing social networking or whatever it may be you're doing. You are affecting more people than any individuals have ever done in times past. And it used to be, you know, we affected just the people around us, right? People I work with, those are the people who see me every day. My family, my church family, and my friends. Those are really the people, you know, it's a small circle, right? Now that circle's enormous. The people that we affect by our choices and our actions on a daily basis. Some of those people we haven't seen in years. Some of those people we haven't seen in decades, right? There are people from Facebook that I haven't seen since before I drove. started driving. Okay? That's a long time back. And, you know, but yet they're on my friends list. So they see the things that I put out there, things that I might write on Facebook. And we must be careful what we put out there and how we affect those people that we have on our friends list. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul writes, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Everything that we do, what we see and what we, or what we say and what we do, should be to bring honor and glory to the Lord. If it's anything else, we need to be careful. We need to look at it and say, maybe that's something I don't need to do. If it's something that's going to bring shame to the Lord, we definitely do not need to have anything to do with it. If it has something to do with things that would not be something that the Lord would approve of, we don't need to be having any part of it. It doesn't matter whether it's a tweet or whether it's a status. We need to be careful that we show Christ in the things that we do. Let's consider a few things that we need to be careful about online. First, we need to be more observant about the items and pictures that we post and repost. And some of you, so some of the older people are going, "What?" You know, but hey, don't feel bad. I had a teenager send me a message this week, said, "I want you to do something when you put this up. I want you to do this." And I was like, "I don't know what that means." So, you know, I consider myself fairly tech savvy. But, you know, I didn't have any, so I texted back and said, "How do I do that?" You know, "I don't know what you're talking about." And they helped me out. But actually, I knew how to do it. I just didn't know the lingo. You know, sometimes pictures that are reposted on sites like Facebook or Pinterest are actually linked to other websites. You got to be careful about that. I know we find funny pictures and we want to put them up there because it's funny. And sometimes, you know, we grab them from someone else and we just throw them up there. And we don't pay attention to maybe where that picture comes from. And it's linked to a website. And we haven't taken the time to be responsible and look at that. I've seen Christians post things that link back to homosexual, pro-homosexual sites. So if you click that, it takes you there. It begins to tell you how, you know, homosexuality is okay. And so, you know, we literally kind of direct people that direction. We push them that way. We give them the opportunity to go to places that we don't want them to go. We don't want them to be a part of, you know, part of. I've seen Christians post pictures and other things that took them to sites that had names that were too sinful to even say. You know, and I don't think they even notice it or realize it. Like I said, I'm not implying anything untoward by Christians. But what I'm saying is that I don't think they even notice it. Sometimes even on the picture, those bad names are written below. They're actually seen on your status. You just didn't see it. You didn't pay attention. So we got to be careful about those things. You know, we got to be sure that what we're putting there is something that can be seen. We also need to understand that if our name is attached to it, then our Christian influence is impacted. The influence that we have on others is impacted by those things that we post and those things that we show. We do not want to send someone to a site that could cause them to go down a path of pornography, or to be led astray by a site that convinces them that some particular sin is all right for them to have in their life. You know, this is especially dangerous when we post religious items. We post religious items from denominations, and they link back to denominational pages. Now, what you post may be wonderful. It might be just as true can be. It might be something I would say from right here. But if it links that person back, and they go, "Well, that's really great. They must have some other really good things for me to read and to see." And they click and they go there and they learn things that are not true. Error. And it takes them away from Christ. You had a hand in that. In propagating that. So we need to be careful that we don't help other people go the wrong way. Our job is to bring them to the truth, not to put things out there that could literally divert them away from it. And it may sound good. You know what? If you read a good saying, type it up. Don't make it where it links. It's something else. Just say it. We just have to be careful. We are to be about people's souls and seeing them get to Jesus Christ. You know, and you know, I say that last one about religious things, and that's not a hypothetical. I've seen that in reality. And so we need to understand the impact we have on people through the internet and through or even these type of posts. Also, sometimes three posts have comments connected to them that can have foul language and people advocating all kinds of things. We need to be aware of that. Now, these are things we don't want our children reading. These are things we don't want other people reading. So let's not give that any more coverage than we have to. If we can stop that, then let's do so. Christianity is about responsibility, and responsibility should permeate every action and every word, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, that we do all things, word and deed, in the name of Jesus Christ, so as to promote Christ in this world and to combat all forms of unrighteousness. When we post or repost something or tweet, and we treat, retweet, see, I told you I had a speech problem. It comes out every now and then. We are responsible for those actions, and we are responsible for the consequences of them. Just as we are responsible for how we act out here when we're walking down the street or we're at school or we're at work or we're wherever, we're responsible for how our actions impact people there. We're responsible for how our actions impact people online too. Now, if I go to Wendy's and yell and holler at the girl because she put lettuce on my burger, and somebody comes to this church and they see me and they go, yeah, that was that guy yelling and hollering, I don't want any part to be a part of that. That's the kind of person he is. I've just impacted them away from the Lord. And God will hold me accountable for that. There will be blood on my hands. And same thing with our online posting. Second, parents, you need to be careful when you let your children get on the internet. I don't know how to express this anymore. There are too many things that a child, even a teenager, does not need to have unfettered access to on the internet. I know the world lets their children on, and probably many of your child's friends, even at a very young age, are on Facebook and have access to all kinds of internet resources. But I don't really, you know, I can't, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. But we're Christians. We're trying to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And some of the things there are going to be hindrances to us doing that effectively. And we need to be aware of that and exercise our responsibility as parents to protect our children from some of these things. You know, when they get older, they'll have to face these things, and hopefully we've taught them to face them. But our children at 10, 11, 12 years old do not need to be thrown into this pool because they're not ready, and it'll only hurt them. It'll hurt them at older ages too if we haven't properly prepared them. You know, these things, with their friends having it, this may produce pressure upon our child, but we must remember that we have one goal, and that is for them to get closer to God. And we need to teach them those things, and we need to be there with them. Consider supervised access. You know, that's what Jeannie and I have done with our children, is supervised access. We started them on letting them do certain things on the internet. There's also some blocking technologies that you can get with some parental blocks that you can put on that you can look into, and those are certainly a good thing, but those are not always foolproof. But first and foremost of all, why you guide your children, why you may supervise them at a younger age, even into their early teens, why you supervise their internet time, you must teach them to deal with the things that are there so that when they do grow older, they will know what not to be looking at, what not to be, what sites what to not go to, and how to operate there. Lastly, and this is for everybody, and something that we have to take seriously, we must be willing to eliminate the internet from our lives if it's going to cause us to be lost. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. Jesus says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to go into hell. If the internet is a stumbling block in your life, if it is something that causes you to continually sin, then you need to get it disconnected. People for thousands of years have lived on this earth without the internet. And you can survive without it. You know, if it is a stumbling block in your life because of pornography or illicit communications, that you cannot seem to beat, that you cannot seem to overcome, get rid of it. You know, I have preached at a few congregations that were a bit out of the way. A few that you didn't go there unless you were actually meaning to go there, because there's no way to accidentally wind up there. They didn't have internet. And I like internet, but and I had to go to dial-up, and it was ugly. But I survived. Didn't like it. But I survived those times when we were out there. You know, even if your job requires you to be on the internet, limit your use to only work and nothing else. And if you don't have to have anything at home, don't have anything at home. It would be better to suffer the inconvenience for not having the inconvenience of not having the internet today than it will to spend eternity in hell, where you will be tormented for all eternity. Not getting, you know, and you can get emails without getting on the internet. Your phone can get those straight into its email server. But even those sometimes have a danger. So you might even have to do away with that. Simple point is, there is nothing more important than your soul. And that's what Jesus was saying. I mean, you know, you can't, plucking your eye out doesn't necessarily. Jesus is using an extreme there to show us that there, you know, even the very parts of your body, which are, you know, going to be of the highest importance to you, he says, if they are keeping you from being right, get rid of them. And folks, if the internet is keeping you from being right before God, get rid of it. Do away with it. You will survive. But more importantly, you will remain what God wants you to be. You will have removed a temptation from your life. You know, it's very much like a person that struggles with alcohol. You don't need to be hanging out at the football parties at the bar. If you struggle with the things that are on the internet, you don't need to be hanging out there. If you can overcome it, good, do. But if you can't, get rid of it so that the temptation is removed from your daily life. Is salvation worth getting rid of it? I think that it is. And I think if you really think hard about it, you would say the same thing. So let's not continue in sin just to have the internet. Let's find salvation by doing those things necessary to remove sin from our lives, not just keep living in it. We can't do that. God's not. Repentance requires that we stop doing certain things. If you don't repent, you do not receive forgiveness. So if you every day say, well, I say I'm sorry every day, that's not repentance. You're not getting forgiveness. If we go on sinning willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Period. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God like that. So if that's you, cut off whatever needs to be cut off to live for God. Finally this morning, I have a pet peeve. You know, I have a lot of people that contact me. I've preached at a lot of congregations, and you know, there's a lot of people send me emails. But, you know, you get these emails, and they're cute, and they have some little message, and it's usually some kind of inspirational type message. And at the end, it says, if you love Jesus, you'll send this on to someone else. I don't send it on to anybody else because I practice the golden rule. Right? Doing to others as you'd have them doing to you. I don't send it to you because I don't want you sending it to me. Emails and posts that I, you know, say that I should forward or post them in order to be a certain type of person just drive me nuts. A teen that I had in my youth group back in the 90s, he's now an adult young man with children, makes me feel old. He wrote this on his Facebook thing, and I really liked it so much that I'm going to read it to you. He says, please copy and paste this to your status if you're constantly being asked to copy and paste things to your status by friends who copy and paste things to their statuses. Many people won't copy and paste this, but my true sarcastic friends will copy and paste it because they know this was copied and pasted from a dear friend in need of more stuff to copy and paste. And if you don't copy and paste it, then this means that you do not love Jesus and you hate the Constitution. Americans, veterans, kids, kittens, puppies, and bacon. And if you hate bacon, then the terrorists win, right? And that's just about what you get sometimes, isn't it? That everything depends on whether you forward this email to someone else or you're just an awful, awful person. The only thing worse than those is the ones that tell me that I'm going to have a terrible day if I don't do it. I just don't send those just to test it. I just want to see if I have a terrible day. You know, we need to understand that emails and posts do not make Christians faithful. And, you know, what they post or email can affect their faithfulness. You know, sometimes people hear about everything they do, right? People get up, I just finished breakfast. I just burped. I've seen it all. It's craziness. We live in an incredibly narcissistic society I added to the dictionaries those pictures where you take your own picture. What's that? Selfie. Yeah, thank you, see? They've added that to the dictionary. Now, we're an incredibly narcissistic society where you think everybody wants to know what you're doing every second of the day and wants to see you doing pictures that, you know, you're not even framed up good in them. But it's an incredible thing. So we'll have all of that. People will tell me everything they're doing for every minute of the day out there for all the world to see, however many hundreds of friends they have, and yet I'll hear what kind of cheeseburger they had for lunch. But today, they'll be incredibly quiet about what a wonderful morning we had at church. That's a problem. That cheeseburger was worth telling, but that I love the Lord isn't. That I, sitting at a restaurant, had to grab my phone and talk about my burger, but today I'll never find an opportunity to get on my phone or my computer or my iPad or whatever pad you got and say, it was wonderful to worship God this morning. See, now I expect on Facebook this afternoon to just see that flooded. And I'll be checking off those of this congregation that did or did not today. But it also doesn't mean as much if I have to ask for it. But, folks, we need to remember the most blessed things in our lives and make sure that if we're going to put stuff out there for all the world to see, that we give them important stuff for them to see too. It's okay. I send pictures of burgers to the feast when I go to Bell's just to make them covet. See? I mean, get behind me, Satan, they could say. But they do the same thing to me. And so, you know, it's payback. It's rendering evil for evil. And that's all right. I'm not saying don't have fun and don't do, you know, the things that we do so often. But don't forget God in it. If He is the center of your life, how can He not be there? Is He the center of our life, I guess, is the question at the final analysis. You know, emails and posts do not determine whether I love Jesus. Whether I keep His commandments do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Let me tell you this, folks. Prayer is greater than emails. Take my emails, but leave me prayer. The Bible has more needed information than the whole of the internet. Oh, we'll search and Google and Google and Google, won't we? But do we open up and search this book? Because one of these days, all that information on the internet is going to get burned up. But these words go on and on. The true friends are not on Facebook. They are the family of God. You know, I think that Facebook has cheapened the term friend. Friend used to mean something, didn't it? Now, I don't even have to see them. I have people on my friends list. I don't even sure I know. I don't even know how they got there. I think they hacked their way in. Because I look at their name, and I go, who is that? I look at about them, I still don't know who they are. And I kick them off. Right? I don't know you. But it's cheapened the word friend. It's a lot like the comedian Jeannie Robinson when she talked about her, in the South, best friends, right? That you see somebody in the store, and you go, oh, this is just my best friend. What's your last name, sweetie? Right? We cheapened the word friend to be something less. My friends are here. Jesus said, who's my mother and who's my brother and who's my father? The people right here. You're my friends. My true friends in God. May life and godliness and our understanding of God's Word never be reduced to a 140-character tweet. If you can get your faith in a 140-character tweet, you do not have very much faith. I use the Internet and do a lot of work with it. I'm not anti-Internet, by no means. But I love Christ more. And all my actions in this life and on the World Wide Web are governed by Him. First, things that I put there, I look to Him first whether they should be there. And whether they're going to impact Him in a negative way or whether they're going to impact Him in a positive way. But we must look to Him first. You are responsible for every keyboard stroke you hit, whether it's keyboard, old-style keyboard, or whether it's a touchscreen keyboard. Doesn't matter. I know somebody's getting technical with me there in their minds. For every keystroke, every letter you put in that digital form, you're responsible for that. And for every click of the mouse you make where you send, you'll have responsibility to that. So make those clicks and make those keystrokes wisely, that you may use what God has given us with the Internet. He has given that to us. You may use it for Him to make a difference in this world like nobody has ever been able to make a difference before. I appreciate Chad. I guess we were thinking alike. I know that's scary for you, Chad. I'm sorry, brother. But he did that Wednesday night, and I thought, oh, man, we're just kind of flying right together here about how, getting on your friends' contacts and inviting them to church. It's not hard. We can use it. Don't use your computer all week and never use it for God. And just use it for you. That's selfish. Use it for Him. He's blessed you with it. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you have the opportunity to become one, to take hold of the greatest information there is. And a lot of this information, there's the information in this book that you can find on the Internet. You can use it for your Bible studies as well. There's a lot of good resources out there that you can use. Be careful what resources you use. But you need to obey the gospel this morning if you have not come to God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be buried in baptism, having confessed and repented of your sins. Rise to walk a new life. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you haven't been using the Internet for God's purposes. You've just been using them for you and for your fun. You haven't been really being responsible with it. Change that today. Become responsible. Determine every day to use some of your time on the Internet for God's purposes in this world. You can impact more people than anybody else has in history. Maybe you've been in pornography. It's just a click away. Get away from it. Pray God to help you stay away from it. And if you can't, get rid of it so that you might be the person God wants. Whatever the sin may be, do away with it today. If you need help, if you need prayers, if you have sin of a public nature that you need to confess and repent of, we want to help you now. We hope and pray that you'll come as we stand and as we sing.